I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 50th episode of the Puck and Right Chicago podcast, halfway to 100. We mentioned this before, I think, on an earlier podcast, but we are going to hit 100 this season, if barring any, like, emergencies or changes to the schedule or anything like that. We will be keeping this schedule as long as until we don't. But this is our 50th episode. This is super exciting. I put the little, like, party hat emoji guy on our doc.
I love the party hat emoji guy. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great. And the name of this episode, I just, like, thought it was very fitting because tomorrow, when you're going to be hearing this on Monday, is the start of preseason for majority of the teams in the NHL. I will mention the one preseason game that happened today on Sunday. But the time is nigh for the NHL season. It's right around the corner. Preseason starts tomorrow. Training camp has been in full swing for majority of the teams. So, It's been a pretty crazy week. I was going to mention the game that happened today between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Arizona Coyotes. It was crazy to say that there was a hockey game that happened today.
But the Golden Knights
beat the Coyotes 6-2. Max Pacioretty had a hat trick. They also got goals from Vinny Hinostroza on the Coyotes side and Ilya Lubushkin. But Pacioretty had a hat trick, Cody Eakin had a goal, and so did Riley Smith and Brady McNabb. So hockey happened today, and that was really exciting. And tomorrow there's going to be a whole slate of teams, including the Chicago Blackhawks, who play the Washington Capitals tomorrow. They play at 6 p.m. local time. But you also have the Devils and Canadiens, Jets and Oilers, Panthers and Predators, Bruins and Devils. It's a split squad for Devils. Islanders, Flyers, Penguins, Sabres, Panthers, Predators. That's also two split squads. Blue Stars, and then the Canucks and Flames also have split squads tomorrow. So it'll be pretty exciting that hockey is back and rolling.
Yeah, I'm very excited. For some reason, I was just like scrolling through Twitter. I don't remember if I was looking for something or just, you know, mindlessly scrolling as you do. And I saw Vegas tweet that something about like intermission or something. And I'm like, whoa. And because I looked at the score and it was like the Coyotes and the Golden Knights, not like, you know, like the Blackhawks and the Blackhawks. But I was like, wait, there's an actual hockey game today? That's so exciting. I'm very, very exciting, very excited that hockey's back. I don't know. I just feel like the summer's been so long. So I'm like really ready for it to be hockey season again. And I think we were on the way to the grocery store this morning and I just, like, put my music on shuffle, and Chelsea Dagger came up. And when I tell you that I scream sang that song, I mostly just screamed it. I was just so happy to hear that again, especially knowing that, obviously, like, the Blackhawks kind of played today. So, I don't know. I'm very excited.
We'll get to that later.
It's going to be the best season ever. I can feel it.
Well, we've got lots to talk about since we last spoke to each other, because the dominoes have fallen and a lot of RFAs are off the table and participating in their training camps. So I am literally going to run through this entire list, and then obviously there's ones we're going to hit on. So a couple things before we get into actual contracts that are being signed. There were talks last week about the Carolina Hurricanes and the Anaheim Ducks being in talks about a Justin Falk trade. Nothing has happened. Don't know if anything will happen on that front. There was a lot of issues with his no movement, no trade clauses and everything. And then also he would only like to be traded if he was going to get an extension. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. And then also the last week, Mark Bergevin, who's the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, was looking to extend. It said they're looking to extend Max Domi. The talks are in movement, but there's no, he's not going to make any other comments on that, he said. But there is interest there to extend him and keep him as a Hab for a while. But those two things being covered, here are the contracts that have been signed this week, over this past week since we've last talked. So Zach Werenski leads it off. He signs a 3-year, $5 million contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Last season, he played in 82 games, had 11 goals and 33 assists for 44 points. Then following that, Pavel Zacha of the New Jersey Devils signs a 3-year, $6.75 million contract. Last season, he played in 61 games, had 13 goals, 12 assists, and 25 points. Kevin Fiala is also off the board. He signs a 2-year, $3 million contract with the Minnesota Wild. His hockey reference said he played in 83 games last year, which is, I don't think that's right. But he had 13 goals and 26 assists for 39 points. Josh Morrissey is locked up with the Winnipeg Jets for another 8 years. His contract carries a $6.25 million average annual value. Ivan Provorov, the big stud on the blue line for the Philadelphia Flyers, signs a 6-year, $6.75 million contract. Last season, he had 82 games, 7 goals, and 19 assists for 26 points. Josh Morrissey, I forgot to mention, he played in 59 games, had 6 goals and 25 assists for 31 points. Maybe I did mention that now that I'm saying it again. The big kahuna signs, Mitch Marner, he signs a 6-year, $10.893 million AAV contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Really nice to get 93 in there, your number in London, Mitch. He played in 82 games, had 26 goals and 68 assists for 94 points. Jared Spurgeon on Saturday signed a 7-year, $7.575 million contract with the Minnesota Wild. So they have all of their RFAs locked up. Last year, he played all 82 games, had 14 goals, 29 assists for 43 points. And today, Sunday, Charlie McAvoy signs a 3-year, $4.9 million steal of a contract with the Boston Bruins. Last year, he only played in 54 games, and he had 7 goals and 21 assists for 28 points. So let's start at the top and talk about Zach Werenski, because he was the first chip to fall, the first guy to kind of set the wheels in motion here for a lot of the other RFA signings. And not saying I called it, but I said that out of all of them, Zach Werenski was most likely to be in camp by the start of camp, and
he
was.
You did say that.
So yep. We can start there. And if you got any thoughts on that one that you want to talk about.
I think it's a good deal. I think a lot of these, you kind of look at them, none of them are long deals, aside from the Josh Morrissey one. And I guess, like, you could count the Ivan Provorov and Mitch Marner signings as long. They're 6 years. But most of them
Spurgeon
are, like,
seven.
Two, oh, a Spurgeon, too. Yeah, I just saw that. But, like, a good chunk of the younger guys are signing these, like, short deals. And I think we're going to see more of that with, we'll get to them in a minute, but, like, the other guys who haven't signed yet, I think a lot of those will be those kind of, like, shorter bridge deals. Since those are a little bit more popular nowadays. But I think the Zach Werenski one looks good. I don't necessarily think I'd call it like a steal, but I don't think that's a bad number for him at all.
I think he's right in that ballpark. I had him like 5 to 6 in that ballpark. He's going to be he already is a big contributor in the decor for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Got him and Zach Werenski him and Seth Jones that really lead that charge. And I think it's a good deal. But the thing is and I've been doing a lot of like research on it because I wanted to fully understand the logistics of it. The thing with 3-year deals is that you have 3 years under contract and then you have a fourth uncontracted year. And basically in the fourth uncontracted year, you are given a qualifying offer. So that qualifying offer is what you can take to stay with the team and sign a longer-term deal, or you can just take it and play 1 year under that contract and then become a free agent. Either way, you're going to be a free agent after 4 years. So the thing with the thing with the important thing to remember about contracts that are 3 years, and we'll talk about this with Charlie McAvoy's as well, is that the actual salary dollars that he is going to be making in the third year, which is $7 million, he's making four in the first, four in the second, and then seven in the final year. The thing with the qualifying offer is that his qualifying offer for that fourth year has to be a minimum of $7 million. They can't offer him anything lower than that. So what you see with Mitch Marner's contract when it's a longer term contract is that they'll front load it and they'll put all of the money at the front of the deal because that's what the players want, because as time goes on, the cap goes up, inflation goes up, the amount of dollars that you are going to be getting has lesser and lesser value as time goes on. So you want to front load it. The players want to front load it so they get all their money now while it's at the highest value. And then as they continue on and the value becomes lower and lower, they're not losing as many dollars. But right. With the 3 year contracts is that they are guaranteed at least that $7 million. They're guaranteed that third year base salary for their fourth year if they were to take a qualifying offer for the team. So that's why teams like to short load the front of those contracts or players want to short load the front of those contracts and then really put them up at the back end. So I was poking around on Cat Friendly over the weekend between things, just trying to like understand everything and how that all works. I'm obviously not an expert on it, and I don't claim to be an expert on it, but I do like to keep it, you know, a little sharp up in here in the brain. But that's what I found out after that one. But let's talk about Mitch Marner, because I just mentioned him, and finally the saga is over. And I was literally saying this to, my dad the other day. I was saying that like it was frustrating because, you know, you can't go 5 years, because if you go five, he's going to walk to free agency with Matthews and Nylander in the same year. And you can't go eight. Well, he doesn't want to go eight because, like I said before, the value of the dollar is going to continue to decrease and you don't want to be locked up for that long. You want to make sure you hit another UFA period. And he doesn't want to do a bridge deal because he's not going to be able to make the money that he wants to make, because if he had a bridge deal, he would be asking for $12 to $13 million in that third year in base salary. So that would be his qualifying offer for the next contract. And that's just not feasible. But the way this contract breaks down, and I have it up here on Cat Friendly, who's, I don't know how we would live without Cat Friendly. But so for this first year, for 2019-20, his total salary is going to be $16 million. And then from there, it goes down to $15 million. Then it goes to $10.3, $8.8.8 for the rest. In the last 2 years, he has a no-move clause. But his total AAV, like his cap hit, is $10.893. But the way it's split up is that he's got his total salary and he's got a lot of signing bonuses as well. He's got about $15.3 million in signing bonuses this first year, $14.3 next year, $9.6 the year after, $7.25, and then $7.25 for the last 3 years. So it's broken down like that. It's kind of complicated, but the Leafs do have a lot of wiggle room because of the placement of the two longer-term players on injury reserve. You've got Horton and, I believe, David Clarkson on there as well. So that frees up right around a little over $10 million in space, which is what allowed them to sign Mitch Marner to this deal. But a lot of things were going around. There's the side that's saying, and you've probably heard this ad nauseum, but this is probably the last time we'll talk about it, thank God. But there's the one side of it that says, okay, this is his future and this is his financial, you know, stability for his family and for whatever he's going to be doing in the future. And so, and this is like his first big contract and he deserves to, you know, get what he thinks he deserves. But there's the other side of it that is like, okay, well, don't you want to be a Toronto Maple Leaf? Don't you want to play in the NHL? Why would you want to drag this out for as long as, you know, Nylander did last year, which was just a pain in the ass to try and talk about and try and just sit with, because it was like, okay, we want you to play hockey. Like, at this point, it doesn't, like, it matters what you make, but also it doesn't matter what you make, I guess. Like, you're going to be a millionaire either way. But the whole saga with his agent, Darren Ferris, and saying, we want Matthews money, and why aren't you talking about him being the captain, and this and that and the other thing, there's just so much drama surrounding it that at the end of the day, I was like, you know, he's a little overpaid. I'd have him in the 9.5 to 10.5 range. He's a wee bit overpaid for my liking, but he is a Toronto Maple Leaf at the end of the day for 5 more years, and we get him in his prime with Matthews' prime and Nylander's prime, and we have Hyman and Dermott and Moore and Bracco, and there's just so many guys that are locked up in this young core. I'm pretty sure the first person that is going to be a UFA is 2 years with Frederick Anderson. So you got Barry and Riley and Muzzin on the back end, and it seems pretty. They seem to be in a pretty good spot. They just got to get out of the first round again. But the Marner saga is over, and I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it's one of those things where he was like the only player I wanted to see get offer sheeted this year, and I was pretty sure it was going to happen, and then it didn't happen, and that was kind of anticlimactic, especially because of all people, it was Sebastian Aho that got offer sheeted. I don't know. This summer has been weird. But yeah, no, I'm pretty happy that he signed because I feel like now that he's signed, we can just move on. I feel like every time I looked at my Twitter feed or if I looked at The Athletic or the NHL site, it was like, new info about Mitch Marner maybe signing with the Maple Leafs. I'm like, oh my God, just sign. It was one of those things that, like, I just don't follow the Maple Leafs that closely. I mean, I follow them pretty, I would say relatively closely because obviously, like, you really like them. And because I follow Steve Dangle. So I just get, like, the byproducts of the news. And it's just one of those things where, like, I just didn't care to see it all over the place all summer like we did. So I'm pretty happy that it's finally, like, tied up. And I don't think it's – I would agree that it's probably, like, just a hair too high. But I don't think it's astronomical. I don't think they overpaid him, like a lot of people are saying. I don't think that he was, like, massively overpaid. I figured he would make somewhere between, like, 8 and 10-ish. So not that far off. So I don't know. I was – just happy to, although, you know, I was going to say, like, to happy to stop seeing stuff, but now it's just like, Mitch Marner's overpaid. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, that's the conversation. I mean, it's going to happen.
That's the new conversation.
They play in Toronto. Toronto is probably the toughest market to play in terms of the NHL. So that's done. And then the last one I wanted to touch on here as well is Charlie McAvoy's contract that did come out today. That is For a guy that is that important, and last year he did miss a lot of time with an injury, but a guy, when he's fully healthy, that guy is a stud on their back end. That guy is going to be the next Zdeno Chara. Like, that guy, he is their future of their blue line. And to get him at a deal that's he got less than Werenski, which I thought, I would see Charlie McAvoy in a 6-7 range. And, and I get that he's only played a year in the NHL and he hasn't really proven himself, or 2 years... Not 2 years, sorry. 3 years in the NHL. But just to see him get that deal, I saw it and I immediately was like, this is a Nathan MacKinnon contract. This is a contract that is so underpaid that, like, not so underpaid. Like, I wouldn't pay him less than 4, but to pay him less than 5, that's a little, you know, I thought that was a steal for Boston. And Boston keeps doing this. Don Sweeney is a miracle worker at signing players. Like, if you look at that Bergeron contract, you look at the Marchand contract, you look at, there's a ton of contracts under the Boston Bruins right now that are steals. Like, David Krejci makes 7.2. Patrice Bergeron makes 6.8. Pasternak makes 6.6.
I was going to say, even Pasta, too. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, and I mean, this is...
David Krejci is the highest paid player at 7.25. Yeah. What?
And this is why... This is exactly why Don Sweeney won GM of the Year, and this is why he wins it a lot, because I just don't know how he does it. Like, I have no idea. I saw this, and I thought the number was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I thought somebody had the wrong number.
Yeah.
Because McAvoy, like you said, like, I'd see him in the 6-7 range, because he's such a important piece of their younger core. They've got their older guys like Marchand and Bergeron and Rask and Chara and those guys, but they also have that younger core. And you're right. I mean, he's they're priming him to be the next Chara for this team. And he's, like, low-key proven it. I mean, he's a dependable defenseman that can also score goals. I don't know. I saw that number and I was just shocked. Like, right. Absolutely shocked. So, pretty excited about that one too, as a low-key Bruins fan. Low-key, like, real low-key, but, you know,
that's still. All right. Well, there's still, from the list of RFAs, if you go on catfriendly.com, you can see I have all the way on the right side on list our RFAs that are still not signed. These are the big names that are still left unsigned: Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine of the Winnipeg Jets, Matthew Tkachuk of the Calgary Flames, Brock Besser in Vancouver, Mikko Rantanen in Colorado, Travis Konecny in Philadelphia, Brandon Carlo in Boston, and Braden Point in Tampa Bay, probably. Braden Point and Patrick Laine are the two big ones that we're waiting for to happen here. So that's some of the signings that have happened. Finally, we got some news there.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
So let's move on to a couple of things happening in the Blackhawks world, considering today was the training camp festival. We'll get to that at the end. But after a whirlwind of a week prior weekend, with the prospects tournament in Traverse City, Michigan, the final day, the Hawks, I'm pretty sure were gunning for like seventh place or something, or sixth place in the tournament. All within one game, Kirby Dach, Adam Boqvist, Philip Kurashev, and Michael Hekkarainen all sustained, they quoted, minor injuries during the final game. Dach hurt his shoulder. Boqvist had a bruised chest. Kurashev had lower and upper body issues, and Hekkarainen lost teeth and was dizzy. And like I said, training camp opened on last Friday, and it has run through. It's going to continue to run until the season starts. I mean, they do practices and everything like that, but the preseason does start tomorrow for the Blackhawks, as we mentioned earlier. But today was training camp festival. I was there with a good friend, Daniela. Shout out to Daniela. What's-his-face? Dach wasn't playing. He's in concussion protocol currently. Kurashev was playing. I want to say he played today. I am not entirely sure. I went to practice on Saturday, and he was practicing, so he was there. But Dach didn't play. Boqvist did play. Boqvist looked great, as he always does. And then Hekkarainen, I did not see him out there, so I believe he did not play today. But I went to practice on Saturday, and that was the second day of training camp in general and practices. And so while there is still a lot to be figured out, there were a couple things that I noticed. Strome was playing really well with Kurashev. Kurashev is got lots of wheels. He's got good hands. That was really fun to see. And then Alex Nylander was playing up with Jonathan Toews for majority of the time that they were playing together. So that was interesting. And he also played on a line with him today at training camp festival. And, the other one that I kind of noticed was Alex DeBrincat. Now, Alex DeBrincat looks, right now, he looks like he's in midseason form. He is really strong on the puck. He made a lot of plays on Saturday and today where he was defending the puck in his own zone really, really well, holding off big bodies, because a lot of our prospects are big bodies. So that was really, really encouraging to see. Obviously, Andrew Shaw is back. Andrew Shaw got a really warm welcome at the United Center. Chris Versteeg did too. He scored a goal today for the prospects tournament, which was really fun. And they got a lot of cheers, but the big players played the two periods, and then they let the rookies and the prospects handle the third and the overtime. But another thing I wanted to mention is the scoreboard. The scoreboard is, when they say it's the biggest in any NHL and NBA affiliated arena, it is huge. I want to say, so the old scoreboard that has been there since the United Center opened in the 90s, late 90s, was probably, if you want to say the width or like the length of the center face-off circle with the Indian head logo on it.
This yeah, I feel one, like that's fair.
This one is expanded past both blue lines. Like, it is triple the size. It is beautiful.
I was going to say,
the graphics are incredible. The picture is incredible. There's a lot more angles for fans to be able to see things. The goal horn is still the same. The Chelsea dagger is still the same, but the quality of it was phenomenal. And I got on the Jumbotron during the third period, and because we were sitting right next to where the Zamboni goes in and out, and they put me up there, and I had a friend that actually sent me a message on Twitter and was like, "Hey, I just saw you on the board. You looked great." And I was like, "Thanks. That quality makes me look real good." So that's really exciting for this upcoming season. Like, a lot of fans were really talking about it around us and, like, watching. Like, it's beautiful.
I guess that just means that I'm going to have to go up to Chicago so I can see it in person. Because, you know, pictures don't really...
Right.
Pictures, I can't imagine that pictures really do it justice. So I'll have to go up and just, you know, double check and make sure that it's up to standard. So I'll just have to, you know...
Make the way.
Casually, go up to Chicago and see a game. Just make sure that I really get the full experience.
And the thing is, too, is that everyone was talking about it. But, like, I've been, this past year, over spring break, we went to Vegas. And we went to Arizona, too. And Arizona just got a new scoreboard from, I think, like, 2 seasons ago. But Vegas is obviously new. And I went to Vegas, and at the time... Vegas's was the biggest one I'd ever seen. Vegas's, it's very similar in size to the one the Blackhawks just put in. It's a little smaller, obviously, because the Blackhawks is the biggest one. But I remember, like, during the game, we sat up in the nosebleeds for the game, but, like at a Blackhawks game, you can go down to the glass and stand there for warm-ups. And so you're standing there, and for the fans that sit in the lower sections that are, like, close to the ice, and they don't want to crane their neck up to see the screen, they have big flat screen TVs inside the scoreboard. So they have the scoreboard that comes down, and they got it all the way around. And then on the inside, there's like an angled like view, and it's TV screens all inside the inside of it. So when you're sitting in the lower bowl, you can just kind of look up a little bit. You don't have to crane your neck up to see the. And I thought that was really interesting. And the Blackhawks look like they have something similar, but they didn't use it today. They also didn't use the drop-down screens that they showed in the promo, like, animated video when they announced the new scoreboard. So we'll see if they do that during the season. But it looked really great. It looked really great. So
I'm really excited about it. It's funny because the Blackhawks announced they were doing that, like, earlier this summer. And, like, I think less than a week later, the Hurricanes announced they were doing the same thing. Obviously, the Hurricanes isn't that big. PNC is also a lot smaller than the United Center, I believe. It feels a lot smaller. PNC, I think, is more, it's more condensed. They probably fit amount, like, about the same amount of people, but PNC is very steep, whereas the United Center is very, I don't want to say it's flat, but
it goes out more.
Yeah, it's not as steep as PNC is, so obviously they weren't going to be able to get in as big of a
screen.
Jumbotron screen thing. But I've heard the Hurricanes one looks pretty good too. So I'll at least get a taste of a new scoreboard, just maybe not the Chicago one right away. But I do plan on making it up to see that because everybody was taking pictures of it today and I just really want to see it in person. Like, that sounds like a stupid thing to want to see in person, but I want to see it in person.
Well, no, like, I was giddy about it because last night on Saturday, my mom and I went to see Thomas Rhett at the United Center, and I realized on the way down there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my first time at the United Center since the last Hawks home game last season. I'm going to see the new scoreboard. And they had it up in the ceiling because, obviously, with all the lights and everything for the show, but
right, like
I walked in and I still got to see it. But the thing I noticed, too, as well, is because it is so big, there are significantly more, like, really, really big support beams that run across the ceiling of the United Center. And it doesn't, obviously doesn't change, like, a view or anything. Like, it's just there to support it. But I did notice that I was like, oh, this thing must weigh a ton because these support beams are, like, huge.
Huge. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think... The last time I was at PNC was for the Jonas Brothers concert earlier in August, but I don't think they had put up I don't think they put it up yet. Mm-hmm. If they did, it was up in the, like, it was up, like, you couldn't see it, but I don't think they had put it in yet, because I feel like I remember them putting it in, like, a week after that. It's not like it, I mean, this, I was gonna say, it's not like it takes that long to do. It takes a lot of effort, I'm sure. But it's not like it's not something that would take all summer for them to do.
Right.
especially because I think the Hurricanes, I don't think the Hurricanes one is smaller. I still think it's like a pretty big upgrade from the one they had, which was very small, like hard to see in the third level small. But yeah, I'm excited. I love all these new scoreboards. I think it's fantastic. I think, especially in hockey, where if you're sitting far away from the ice, there are times where, or even if you're sitting like in a certain corner of the glass, there are certain times where you can't quite see what's happening. So it's nice to have the scoreboard where you can see like the camera tracking the puck. So you can kind of see what's going on. So obviously with a bigger screen, that helps you see better. And as somebody who wears glasses, I very much appreciate that arenas are putting in bigger screens so that I can really see what's happening.
Well, and it is the 25th anniversary of the United Center being built. So what a way to celebrate and get a new Jumbotron. Yeah. So that's what's happening with the Blackhawks. Don't forget tomorrow night, first preseason game versus the Capitals. For those of you that are in the Chicagoland area, it's on NBC Sports Chicago Plus. And then if you're in the Washington area, it's on NBC Sports Washington. Obviously, you can watch everything on NHL Network if you have an NHL app, if you have the NHL TV package. But also,
are preseason games included in that, though?
I believe so.
I feel like last year I couldn't watch them, but I can't remember. So maybe
really? My first year. It's my first year having it's my first year having NHL TV, and I just got the giant package that like includes everything. So I didn't really read like.
I just let my subscription renew. I was like, whatever. I feel like I couldn't watch preseason games last year. I feel like I streamed them.
Okay.
But I can't remember. Maybe they're, I don't know, maybe I did watch a preseason. I can't remember. We'll find out for you guys. I feel like you can't, but maybe they may have also changed it for this year.
Yeah, but
I feel like every year they keep updating it.
But also, as a reminder, every game this season, if you live in the Chicagoland area, which I'm assuming a lot of you do, all of the games for the Chicago Blackhawks this season will be on NBC Sports Chicago, either NBC Sports Chicago or NBC Sports Chicago Plus. There will be no more WGN games, which makes me very sad because also there, I think there's only four or five broadcasts left for the Cubs on WGN, and they have been on WGN for 72 years. So the Cubs are having their own sports network coming out next year. It's just called Marquee Sports Network, and it is going to be just strictly Cubs. You have to pay for it. It's a package. A lot of people are very pissed off about it, but it's like an ending of an era for WGN because WGN is a national channel and all over the country, and that's why the Cubs have such a following from people in Arizona and people in Washington, people in Iowa, right. People in Florida, because you can turn on WGN and watch the Cubs, and it wasn't just based in Chicago market. So that I saw that the other day, and there's only like four or five broadcasts left after being on WGN for 72 years. So that's a little nostalgic for me. But let's move on to a couple things happening around the NHL. We've got a couple news and notes, as usual, to talk about here. Another thing about Montreal in the news, Montreal GM Marc Bergevin, again, confirms that the 40-year-old Andre Markov will not return to the NHL. After playing the last two seasons in the KHL, there were some rumblings that he was going to try and make a comeback. His last NHL season was 2016-17, where he played in 62 games, had 6 goals, 30 assists for 36 points. And the last 2 years, from 2017 to 2019, he was playing in the KHL for Akbars Kazan. He had 104 games, 7 goals, and 40 points for 47 points. So you can see why he is not going to be making a return to the NHL. Some more fun news. I saw this news and started crying, literally, in front of the kids I babysit, and they were very concerned. TJ and Lauren Oshie announced that they are expecting a baby boy in March of 2020. They have two baby girls right now, Layla and Lenny. I love their family so much. I follow, like, literally everything that they do. They did a slapshot gender reveal at the Caps practice facility, so that was really fun. I'll link it below if you want to watch the video of Oshie taking his signature slapshot to blue puffs of paint coming out on the ice and all of them freaking out and confetti and all that stuff. So congratulations to them. Evgeny Malkin opens up about his mental health, his future, everything like that on The Athletic. He did a beautiful piece, really shed some light. Obviously, Gino has not been someone that really shows too much emotion throughout his NHL career. He's a very just stoic kind of guy, whether that is there's a language barrier there with Russian or if it's just he is just personality and he doesn't want to express himself very much. That is a beautiful article that I was getting a little teared up on. I love Evgeny Malkin, so we'll link that below if you're an Athletic subscriber. Bruce Cassidy signs a multi-year contract to remain the head coach of the Boston Bruins. The years or the financial terms weren't released, which I was like, multi-year, what does that mean? Anyway,
that's how many years?
How many? Bigger piece of news here. Logan Couture last week was named the new captain of the San Jose Sharks after Joe Pavelski signed as a free agent with the Dallas Stars. Brent Burns, Tomas Hertl, Erik Karlsson, and Joe Thornton were all named alternate captains. Last season, Logan Couture played in 81 games, had 27 goals, 43 points, and 70 assists, and he was a stud in the playoffs, if any of you watched the playoffs. And in his career with the San Jose Sharks over the last 9 years, he's played in 663 games, has 240 goals, 267 assists for 507 points. So congratulations to Logan Couture. We both really like him. We'll come back to these news, don't worry. I'm just running through them all, and then we can talk about them. I read this one on Thursday last week, and I also started tearing up. Shea Theodore is one of my favorite players. Shea Theodore opened up in an article with the Players Tribune, which I love the Players Tribune.
I was going to say, I get the emails from them every morning. I guess it's every couple mornings, whatever, but I love those articles. They are fantastic.
It was a very great, the whole idea and everything was started by Derek Jeter, who obviously is a former New York Yankee, probably one of the best New York Yankees of all time, and he basically wanted a platform for athletes and people to be able to come on and talk about things from their point of view. He had testicular cancer this past summer after failing a drug test at Worlds for Team Canada. This past spring, he just got randomly drug tested. He failed the drug test. It was HCG, I believe, was the hormone that he had just an excessive amount of, and usually it's found in pregnant women at really high levels like that, but it also could be a sign of testicular cancer, which he did have, and he failed the drug test, but he made this clear in the article. He's like, if I didn't go and play for Worlds like I almost didn't do, if I didn't take that drug test, if I didn't get on a plane to Slovakia, because the symptoms don't occur. Like, he didn't have any symptoms, but they caught it early enough. He went in, had surgery. Everything is good. He's playing with the Vegas Golden Knights this season, but he opened up about it and the whole process behind it and everything like that. So we'll also link that below. And then just over this past weekend, Dustin Byfuglien was granted a leave of absence from the Winnipeg Jets. He will miss the start of their training camp due to a personal issue. The head coach, Paul Maurice, said that it wasn't anything that was, like, malicious or like really bad, so hopefully everything is okay on his front. Yesterday, Patrick Laine will be heading to SC Bern, which is the former playing home of Nico Hischier in Switzerland, while he waits to sign a contract. He is a restricted free agent, as we mentioned before. And Evgeny Kuznetsov has been suspended 3 games by the NHL, which I said they weren't going to suspend him, and basically a 3-game suspension is nothing. So if we want to start there, we can start there and chat about that.
It's funny because I was like so sure that they were going to suspend him for that. I mean, I've said this multiple times, but I don't know the ins and outs of like the business side of the NHL. I just watch hockey because I like watching hockey. If I learn business stuff along the way and rule, like legit rules outside of what they do on the ice, cool. But I guess I didn't know. I think we talked about this when the news came out that he'd even done this a couple weeks ago. I didn't know that you couldn't, it's not that you couldn't, it's just typically the NHL doesn't, there's not really a rule saying that you can't use that drug specifically, and get suspended for it, something along that line. So I was kind of surprised after we had that conversation that he was suspended, and I don't know why my first instinct is to laugh at this. I have no idea why that's my first instinct. I think maybe it's because 3 games, like you said, it's literally nothing. Like, that's
just a little tap on the wrist.
Yeah, it's like, don't do that again.
You did a bad thing.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Did you learn? Did you learn from this? Okay, great. Go ahead and go play.
Cool, great. Go but sit like, in your corner for 3 days and then let's go.
Well, I don't think either. Like, I don't think it's I don't think it's something that's like, it should be like a super long suspension. And I think a lot of people are missing the point of like, I would rather him, Like, I don't want to see him get suspended because it's like, oh, you did cocaine, that's a bad thing to do. I would much rather see him get the help that he needs, get the support that he needs from his teammates, which the Capitals have pledged their support behind him and saying, you know, we're going to support him through this. But I would much rather see publicly, like, the NHL saying, okay, yeah, like, I feel like the suspension just kind of puts the NHL in a really negative light of just saying, like, oh, you did a bad thing, we need to suspend you for it. And rather than, like, hey, you did this thing, whether it was a mistake or not, or whether you did it on purpose or not, we want to make sure you get some help. And, like, we want to make sure that we get you back on the right track so you can play hockey, you can be the best, like, teammate and father and son and everything and husband that you can be for the people that are around you that need you. Because I feel like, obviously that could be happening behind closed doors. We don't know everything that goes on, like you said. But it's just in a public light for them to be like, bad, you get a suspension. Like, it's just kind of it like, also, I don't think that's the direction you want to take this.
I also just, it's kind of along the same lines. I just, the NHL just seems to suspend things for weird reasons. Like, the thing that I keep coming back to and that I have been coming back to, and I can't think of the guy's name right now, which is really going to make me upset, but that guy who played for the Kings, who abused his wife, who gets to somehow could maybe sign with a team halfway through the season this year, which is ridiculous. Oh. I cannot for the life of me think of his name right now.
I'll look it up.
It's not important.
I'll look it up because I know who you're talking about, and that'll bother me too. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Like, come on. Like, he needs to not play in the NHL ever again. I'm sorry. That is something that you have completely messed up. You did that completely intentionally. Whereas, like, you look at the Kuznetsov thing, like, you're right. Like, you could have, I'm not saying you can, like, do that by accident, but he could have just not been in the right mind space. He could have
Slava Voynov.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah.
Should not play in the NHL. And if a team signs him, I am going to riot because that's ridiculous. I don't think a team will sign him, but, you know, it's the NHL. I've seen worse and weirder things. But, like, the NHL just doesn't understand. They don't know what they want to police, and that drives me insane because it feels like they're policing really small things. Yeah.
Like, they don't have a domestic violence policy. They don't.
Which is also ridiculous. I feel like they should have these policies. Like, who do I need to talk to them for them to do this? Like, in any work environment, like a normal 9-to-5 desk job, they have policies like this. I don't understand why the NHL wouldn't. Not that really, like, any, I mean, you look at MLB, you look at NBA, you look at the NFL, like, I don't think any of them really have, like, super very strict rules about this stuff, and I just feel like maybe
there are more important things to deal with.
Exactly, and especially,
not that this isn't important, but it's a different section, you know?
Yeah, I just think, like, especially in a world with so, like, you can basically know what somebody's doing at any time if you go on Twitter. I'm being dead serious. And, like, I just feel like, especially in a world like that where everybody lives online and knows what everybody else is doing all the time, like, it's so much harder. So when this stuff comes out, like, it comes out usually from the wrong source, number one. But number two, like, when it comes out, like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but, like, you get what I'm saying, right? Like,
it's just,
with social media, it's so much easier for this stuff to get out. That's where I was going with this. It's so much easier for this stuff to go out, and I just feel like because of that, I guarantee you this is not the last time some guy's going to get caught doing some sort of drug that is illegal. I guarantee you.
Well, it happens all the time, and nobody gets caught.
Yeah. So, like,
In all sports, not even just hockey, in the NFL, in MLB, like, it happens all the time.
I just feel like the NHL just needs to maybe take another look at their, like,
prioritize policy. What is, like, important to address. Because, like, obviously, you do want to address this kind of situation. Like, cocaine is not something you should be messing around with, and it's very dangerous, and, like, you don't want your league to be kind of, like, plastered with that. But also,
exactly. You
need to also take into account, okay, if we're going to take this seriously, we also need to take things like domestic violence and all these other issues that do,
like,
occur.
Alcohol issues as well. Like,
also seriously. Just as serious.
And mental health even, just general mental health. Like, I just wish, not saying that they, like, would suspend somebody for that, but, like, I just wish the NHL had a little bit more, in other sports as well, but the NHL especially, because that's the sport we follow, obviously. I just wish they had a little bit more, like, there's a word and I can't think of it, but I wish they would just show a little bit more
passion about it.
Yeah. I guess compassion's the right word. Like, I mean, more, these are your
more
players.
Than, like, more than Bell, Let's Talk. How about
exactly.
put it that way?
Like
all season, players, all months of the season.
This sounds really bad, but like, I really do think that it's going to take something absolutely drastic to happen for them to do anything.
And it has. There have been players that have committed suicide or players that have died early because of CTE, which also happened, came out this week. I forgot to mention it during the Blackhawks segment.
Yeah.
Stan Mikita, they did a total study of his brain, and he had stage 3 CTE. But the NHL has, then like its affiliates have always said, okay, no, that there's no correlation there, which that's something that like it, you can't just, and this is what Dan Carcillo fights for every single day, is like, you can't just put it on the back burner. These are things that are arising, and they might have not been an issue 10, 15, 20 years ago, but they're an issue now, and they're things that impact players now and are going to impact your players in the future when they're done playing and when they have kids that play and everything. And it's a whole circle. Literally, it's the Lion King. It's the circle of life. Everything connects in the end.
I just feel like, I just wish the NHL would care more about its players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the most
that's
frustrating
literally
thing.
What it boils down to.
Yeah. So, is there anything else in there you wanted to talk about? Did you want to talk about Logan Couture?
Only for a hot second, because
yeah,
when I saw this, I was absolutely shocked. Again, I think I talked about this last week, but my coworkers are like, "What are you smiling about?" I was so excited about this. Logan Couture is one of my favorite players. I think he is so underrated. I love the Sharks. I think I've mentioned this. I know I've mentioned this before, that I really love the Sharks.
Right.
But, oh my God, I was so surprised, because I figured they would name a captain. They just seem like the type of team. I don't know how to word this to not sound mean, but like, move on quickly. Like,
yeah.
That sounds really bad, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I think they're just one of those teams like, all right, we need another captain. Let's just,
you know. Well, they're always looking to take the next step. You can put
exactly.
it that way.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it to make it not sound bad. Because I don't mean it in
more
a bad
motivational.
Way.
More motivational.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't mean it in a bad way. Like, they're just moving on with things instead of just like.
Well, don't dwell on it. They're not dwelling on
yeah.
it. Like, oh man, we
yeah.
lost our captain. We lost our franchise player. It sucks, but like, hey, we got another season. We got to move on. Focus
exactly.
on us. Yeah.
But I guess I just assumed that they would name like Brent Burns or like Carlson. I figured maybe like one of them. I didn't think it was going to be Joe Thornton, only because he signed like a 1-year deal and he just signed like a week or two ago. So I didn't think it was going to be him. I was actually really sure it was going to be Brent Burns. Like, I was like 98%
really?
Sure. I was like, yeah, Burns, he's got this. And
I knew it was going to be Couture.
It didn't happen. But I'm
he's
so
the
excited
next stud,
for him.
Though. Like,
he is, and I'm so excited because
he's
on my fantasy
stud.
Team this year. I think he was on my fantasy team last year as well. I tend to pick the same guys, but I'm pretty sure he was on my team last year too. But man, I just love him so much, and I really do, like, I genuinely think he's an underrated player, so it'll be interesting to see how he fares as a captain. I think all five of those guys are pretty good leaders, and I think the Sharks are, like, a weird team where they have a bunch of vet guys, but they also have, like, a ton of younger guys.
Yeah.
So I think Logan Couture is, like, a healthy mix of, like, vet guys, but also he's still pretty young.
Right.
So,
I agree.
Yeah. Very excited. Very, very, very excited about this.
Okay, let's talk about, since you just brought that up, let's talk about fantasy really quick, because I just wanted to talk about our teams. Like, we can just say the players that we drafted, because if you do not know, Megan, I, her sister, Olivia, and my other friend, Daniela, are all in a fantasy league on ESPN. We play against each other. It's all that good stuff, but we just had our draft last Monday, and I just wanted to, like, we could just run through who we got. So I'll
yep.
just, I don't know how I got some of these players, but I might
I don't
be
know
making
how I got some of mine either.
I might be making some moves here in a hot minute. But with the first overall pick, I selected Jonathan Toews. For my forward group, I've got Toews, Mark Stone, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, Matt Barzal, John Tavares, Jonathan Marchessault, Claude Giroux, and Ryan O'Reilly. For my defenseman, I've got John Klingberg, Morgan Riley, Jared Spurgeon, Colin Miller, Shea Theodore. And then I've got on the bench and utility players, I've got Dylan Larkin, Taylor Hall, Thomas Chabot, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and none other than Jack Hughes. And my goalies are Carey Price, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Carter Hart. So I'm pretty happy with my team. I literally cannot believe I have McKinnon, Kucherov, and Tavares on the same team. What?
Yeah, like, I can't. It's some of mine, too.
I drafted McKinnon in, the sixth round. I was like, who did not? And Kucherov in, the seventh. I was like, who is not picking these guys up?
When you drafted McKinnon, he was literally next in my, queue of guys.
Someone didn't take McDavid until, whoever took McDavid didn't take them until, four or five.
It's me. I have McDavid.
I was like, what? Why? I wanted to take
him. He was
still
on the table, and I was like, well, I'm going to take him.
Well, I the only reason I didn't take him is because he still has that knee thing, and they haven't really, said for sure if he's going to be playing. Like, they said he'll
might play at the end of preseason. The way that I see it is that even if he's out for, the first 10, 20 whatever games, he'll make it up. It doesn't even matter. He'll still be, the top scoring. I don't even care.
Right.
But, yeah, I was pretty excited about my team. I feel like my team is, somewhat solid.
Okay, run through your list.
So my first overall pick was Patrick Kane, obviously. Well, I wasn't first overall. I was fourth overall. But it doesn't matter. That was my first pick.
Yeah.
I had to have Patrick Kane on my team. He was on my team last year, too. I'm telling you, most of these guys were on my team last year. So I picked Patrick Kane, Tyler Seguin, Alex DeBrincat, Brock Besser, David Pastrnak, Connor McDavid, Elias Pettersson, Logan Couture, Leon Draisaitl, and then my decor, Duncan Keith, Miro Heiskanen, Brent Burns, Calvin DeHaan. I have a lot of Blackhawks, too. P.K. Subban, Michael Kempney. And then he's my utility guy, but then my bench is Patrice Bergeron, Brett Pesci, Gabe Landeskog, Keith Yandel.
Keith Yandel.
And then I got, Peter Mrazek, Andrei Vasilevsky, and Robin Lehner as my goalies. Very exciting.
It's a good time.
Having a good time. I literally picked half the Blackhawks roster. I'm really taking a gamble there because I don't think anybody knows what they're going to do this season. So I'm all right, you know what? We're just going to bank on them being good. I almost picked Dylan Strome, too. And I was like, no, I need to pick somebody who's not on the Blackhawks.
I was looking. Jonathan Toews is the only Blackhawk that I have.
You know, I'm the worst. I think as the season goes on, I'll probably switch out some of my Blackhawks players. I think that's what I did last year, too. I feel like I remember drafting a lot of Hawks early on, and then I changed really quickly. But, yeah, lots of Hawks players, so we'll see. I feel like the goalie pool was kind of tricky this year. I wasn't sure really
I knew Price. I wanted Price and Fleury for sure. And then, the third goalie, I was just like, who's good? And then I was like, Carter Hart was still left. And I was like, Carter Hart, you're my third goalie.
Yeah, I know. And I thought about taking Carter Hart, and I was like, I don't know. And I figured Vasilevsky was a semi-safe choice. Almost took Ben Bishop. I think somebody else might have taken Ben Bishop.
Yeah.
And then
I know Daniela got Anderson, and I was going to take Anderson, and I was like,
Olivia was too. Olivia wanted Anderson. Olivia's like, I want Pecorine. I'm like, no, you don't. Don't pick Pecorine. Please don't pick Pecorine.
You don't want Pecorine. Dude.
Please don't. He's old. Please don't pick him.
Wait, this is a total side note. Hold on, before I forget. Yeah. This guy behind us at training camp festival today was saying names. It's just Daniela and I would just look at each other and be like, do we watch the same sport? He said Dylan Strome, and then he said Alex Nylander, which I literally cringed. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's not right.
And then he said Pekka Rinne.
Ooh, nope. That's a hard pass.
And you said that, and I was like, I just was triggered for a second.
I'll be the first to say that I don't pronounce names well. I am one of those people who will look up how to pronounce so-and-so. I do it all the time. I do it when I'm at work, when I have to call people. I literally look up people, how to pronounce names.
Right.
I don't want to disrespect somebody and call say their name wrong. Not that it's not disrespectful necessarily, but I want to be respectful.
Right.
That way.
Right.
And try to say their name as accurately as possible. But
hey, I know that struggle. My name has been said wrong my entire life.
Surprisingly,
so it's nice that people that take the time to be like, how do you pronounce your name? I'm like, thank you for asking. It's
surprisingly,
Shaylin.
People pronounce my last name wrong all the time. I still don't really understand that one.
I thought I had a D for 10 years.
Yeah, you thought I might as well be related to Wayne.
Well, that's I always thought that in my head. I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to remember her last name forever now because it's the same as Wayne Simmons. No, it's not.
It's really close, but people always call, like, people always say my last name is Simons, and I'm like, no, they're two M's. Two.
Yeah.
And I just never corrected you on the, like, last name thing. I was like, whatever, it's fine. It's you got the gist. You got all the letters and an extra right. one. What's the harm? But people spell my name more often than they mispronounce my name. Like, right. I feel like Megan spelled 18,000 different ways, and my parents had to pick, like, one of the weird ones.
Yeah.
So...
one of the weird spellings.
I love you, parents, but you picked one of the weird ones. I think it's, like, one of the more Irish spellings, because my name is, like, a very Irish name. But, yeah, it's, oh, man. So I just, oh, I think I was telling you the Maple Leaf, the time my sister and I went to Maple Leafs game last year, and the girl sitting next to us, bless her heart, she was cheering for the Maple Leafs, but she was pronouncing every single one of their names wrong, and I was like, oh, honey.
Oh, God.
Honey.
Oh, God.
She called him Austin Matthew. Like, there wasn't an S. And I'm like, girl.
That ain't it, Chief.
That ain't it. And then there's another really funny one, and now I can't think of what it was. But yeah. She wasn't pronouncing any of the Canes players' names right either. And I was like, I want to correct you, but I also feel bad because you might just be getting into the sport. Like, I don't want to be mean, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
And also, like, I don't know her, so I wasn't going to say anything. But, oh, sorry. Man, people mispronounce names, like confidently. I'm like, ooh
baby,
no,
it's like that Dylan Strom kid. I'm like, oh bud,
no, that is not his last name. Where if there wasn't an E there, yeah, maybe,
right,
but there's an E there.
Yeah, so that's that after that tangent, that's our fantasy talk. I'm gonna implement like a little segment into every podcast now that we start getting into it and talk about like our results and everything of each week.
I was gonna say, because we're doing the league a little bit differently this year than we were last year. Mm-hmm. Last year we just did like by points, so yeah. You would get points for a power play goal, you get points for a regular goal and assists and penalty minutes, whatever. Mm-hmm. And whoever had the most points in each category was the top person. But this year, it's more like a fantasy football league where we're like pitted against each other week to week. So that's kind of exciting, especially because my first matchup is against my sister.
Oh, I know. I was talking to Danielle about that today. I was like, hey, man, I play you in fantasy first week. She's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. She's like, you're going down. It's like, all right, jeez.
Yeah, literally. It's, oh, man.
Yeah.
Olivia, so. I think Olivia won our fantasy league last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I want to beat her. I want to beat her really bad. I need to win.
Let's do some power plays. Megan, wow, by the skin of her teeth and the grace of God, someone's up there. She has a power play this week, folks.
Sure do. And
just give it up for Megan.
It came to me like 2 seconds before we started recording. I was like, yeah, we'll talk about this. It's not really like fully related to hockey, but I'm going to make it fully related to hockey.
Okay. I like the sound of that. You know, you work with what you're given. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. And go.
Okay. So, for those of you who follow baseball, you probably have heard of Christian Yelich. He's my favorite player. He plays for the Brewers. It's a thing. So earlier this week, he was, I don't even know what he was doing. I just saw, I was like going to bed and I didn't even see the play. But I think he took a ball to his knee and they thought he broke his kneecap initially, but I think he ended up just fracturing it and he may be back by the end of the season, which fingers crossed. I don't think he will be, but fingers crossed. Anyways, I went onto Twitter just to, like, get more information on it. And let me tell you, I never want to see people reply to tweets ever again. People should be banned from Twitter because there were so many people from all different fandoms. I saw Cardinals ones. I saw Cubs people. I saw Yankees people. I'm like, you don't even go here. And then I saw other just general baseball fans. I saw so many people being like, wow, lucky for us. So glad he got hurt. Like, everything's in that vein. And I'm like, I'm sitting here, like, trying to figure out why somebody would wish for another player to get hurt. And my first thought was, if somebody got hurt on the Blues, I would not cheer for that, ever. I hate the Blues with everything in me. If they disappeared, it'd be totally fine. But I don't want any of them to get hurt. I would never wish that on them. And if they did get hurt, especially playing against my team, I would not be happy about it. I would not cheer for it. That said, I just don't understand why people do this. Like, I feel like it is so, first of all, it's rude, it's disrespectful, and you look like a freaking scumbag if you sit here and hope for somebody else to get hurt while you're sitting, like, probably on your couch watching the game. Like, you're not, like, it just made me so mad, and I related it to hockey for, like, a second, but, like, I've seen it in hockey, too. I have. And I just feel like it is so ridiculous that people think that it's okay to wish pain and injury on players who play for teams that you don't want to play against, or players that rip your team to shreds. Like, just don't be a jerk. Just it's that freaking simple. Like, I don't know, like, if I have to start moderating Twitter or something, but something has got to happen, because yeah, this is, it's just ridiculous. Like, I can't handle it. I really can't.
No. Yeah. I'm like, and, like, I saw a lot of people doing that, too. And, like, there's a difference as well between, like, looking at it from, like, a fan perspective, like, and not placing a name with the person that got hurt. Like, you could just, like, I feel like a lot of people, too, were also in the sense of, like, oh, yeah, like, this guy's star player is gone. And, like, they're, like, and he got hurt. And, like, they are right behind us. Like, for the Cubs, like, in the Cubs standpoint, a lot of people on Cubs Twitter were, like, oh, thank God Yelich is gone, blah, 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 blah. But, like, right, a lot of people were also just, like, in a baseball sense, the Brewers as a whole are tied with us for the second place. And, like, if they don't have one of their best players, like, we don't have one of our best players, Anthony Rizzo got hurt today, like, then our chances are sunk, kind of thing. And, like, I was like, you need to differentiate between, like, wishing pain upon a person and then also just looking at it from, like, a standings perspective and be like, okay, this is where this team as a whole is at. And, like, that's what I saw a lot of, too. And it's just, like, baseball Twitter is just, like, the things that I saw about Yelich, like, people have been joking. Because, like, the way the Brewers, I guess the way the Brewers handled it, like, obviously you take a situation like this very, very seriously. But I guess they took it, like, just very, like, to the point of just, like, we will always remember him. And people are like, did Yelich die? Did he die? Like,
it is kind of funny, because it's funny that you mentioned that, because my mom told me, like, the next game, like, I guess, like, Ryan Braun wore Christian Yelich's jersey under his jersey. I'm like,
yes!
Ryan, come on. Like, he didn't die. Like,
well, that's, people are taking it to that point, and someone said,
like, I'm surprised they haven't had, like, a candlelit vigil for, I think, so, as a Brewers fan, I think a big chunk of it is that we, at least recently, at least since I've watched the Brewers, have not had an MVP player like Christian Yelich. Mm-hmm. I know there were guys when my mom was younger and, you know, before I was born, but in my lifetime, I have not seen a star player like that. Like,
right.
I guess you could maybe put Ryan Braun there, but I wouldn't classify him as, like, a superstar. No offense to Ryan Braun. I love him to pieces, but he's not. I think a lot of it is that Brewers fans as a whole just don't know what to do with it. Like, he's like our hope, and then he's just gone, and it's like, okay. It kind of, like, felt like
just, it feels like he just, like, disappeared, and everyone, like, was just like, did he die? Where did he go? Like, he's still alive. He's still with the team.
Well, and it's funny too, because my mom told me, like, it's not, okay, let me back up. It's not funny. I just thought it was interesting. Like, even when my mom had told me, I guess, like, when they got back to the hotel that night, like, Christian Yelich was very upset about it, which, like, that's fair. I mean, it sucks, because I think initially, too, before he got the MRIs and stuff done, they thought he was done for the season and potentially into next season, because they thought he broke his kneecap, and you can't really do anything for that except, like, surgery.
Right.
And even then, I feel like with the recovery time, I think my mom was saying could be, like, up to 12 months.
Yeah, so, it's really tough. Know,
like, you think about that, he'd miss, like, the rest of this season and then, like, a good chunk of next season if that were the case. Obviously, it's not. He just cracked it.
Right.
Just, like, like, dude.
Yeah. Well, and there's – someone said this, too. Like, someone said this today, too, because, like, Rizzo got hurt during the game today, and then it also was announced that Mike Trout is having surgery on his foot and he's going to be done for the rest of the season. And someone tweeted, it was like, what a terrible day for baseball. We lose Anthony Rizzo, we lose Mike Trout, and Christian Yelich is in heaven. Or something like that. Or it was like, please pray, please pray, like, for Rizzo, just, who's up in heaven with Yelich now. And I'm just like, what is going on?
It is funny, though, because as soon as I heard what it was, or what they initially thought it was, my first thought was like, goodbye, playoffs.
Goodbye.
Like, that was my absolute first thought. I just
goodbye,
don't,
sweet prince.
Literally, no offense to the Brewers, but I just don't trust them in the slightest. Like, today, even, they were playing the freaking Cardinals, who I hate more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, honest to God, the whole city of St. Louis could just disappear, and yep. I'd be completely fine. If it just wasn't on the map one day, totally fine.
I'm fine.
I would be fine. Totally fine. And the Brewers were losing. And then all of a sudden, like, the top of the ninth, they, like, I think, like, Brian Brown or somebody hit a home run, and it was, they went from losing to winning by, like, a fair margin.
Right.
And I was like, oh, great, top of the ninth, totally fine. 5 minutes later, my phone buzzes, and the Cardinals almost tie it up. I'm like, oh, no, I can't trust them. They're like the Blackhawks defense. I straight up just cannot trust them.
Well, the hardest thing for me as a Cubs fan is, like, we're trailing the Cardinals in the division, but we're also, like, right in front of the Brewers. So I'm like, who? I cannot cheer. I have to cheer for the Cubs to win. I have to cheer for the Cardinals to lose and for the Brewers to also lose. So I'm just like, but they're playing each other. Then I'm like, who? One has to win.
Who do I need to lose here?
Who needs to lose more? I think the Cardinals.
It is kind of funny that you mentioned that, because that's, I was thinking about that today. Like I was like, wow, I don't know who Shea would be rooting for in this game.
Well, we're only two games behind St. Louis, and we're a game up on the Brewers. So, like, if we keep winning and you keep winning, we're just going to stay the same. But if St. Louis keeps losing, then we're going to get back into first.
Exactly.
So I need St. Louis to lose, and I need both of us to win.
It's just funny because it reminds me a lot of the NC State, Duke, and UNC Chapel Hill triad around here. It's very much the same way, where, like, if Duke and Carolina are playing, State fans are like, well, I don't know who to cheer for. And same thing, like, if State and Carolina are playing, or if State and Duke are playing, the other two are like, well, what do I do?
Right.
Like, I don't want to cheer for either of them.
Right.
I feel like, obviously, hockey gets like that too towards the end of the season, especially when you're in a playoff push. You're like, well, I don't want either team to win.
Right.
I can't tell you how many games were like that last year, especially when the Blackhawks got so close. It's like, I need you to lose, but I also need you to lose.
But we need everybody to lose, yeah.
Everybody has to lose. But that's so bottom line, just don't talk bad about guys who get hurt. I think that is just ridiculously unsportsmanlike. And I don't care if you like the guy or not.
Right.
Really don't. I don't think you should wish for people to get hurt. And bring it back to hockey for a second, and then I'll let you do your power play.
I was going to say, I don't really want, I'm not feeling my power play this week.
Oh.
I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm really, like, I put it on there, but, like, I'm not feeling it. It's preseason predictions, but I was like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it.
Oh. Okay.
Okay,
well,
you know what? I'm just like, I don't know. Like, this conversation that we've had, like, about this, like, I was like, I feel like that's just fine. You know?
Like, well, like, ending it sort of with a hockey tie-in. Like, I, when last year or this past season in the playoffs, when Ovechkin punched poor Svechnikov in the face, I can't tell you how many people were like on Twitter. The one that made me the most mad was, what is her name? There's a song about her. And now she does journalism in Washington. What is her name? Oh, Mia Khalifa. She used to be like a porn star or a stripper or something. Can't remember. But she's all of a sudden a journalist now. And she was berating Svechnikov for that. And she's like, thank God he's out of the lineup, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, your role, my dude. Slow your roll.
All right, sis.
First of all, he's like 18, 19 years old.
Right.
You should, that is a definite no.
Right.
That is terrible. So shame on you for that, number one. And number two, like, why? Like, you guys have, not that it mattered in the end, but, like, y'all have Ovechkin and Braden Holtby and Nicholas Backstrom and Kuznetsov and Oshie. Like, the Hurricanes have, like, Sebastian Aho and Peter Mrazek at best. Like, don't freaking talk to me.
Right.
Like, I mean, obviously, like, the Hurricanes are better than just those two players. But, like, you look at the Capitals, and they're, like, studs.
Right.
And then the Hurricanes are, like, young guns. And it's just, like, don't be mean about that stuff. Like, why would you wish for somebody to get hurt?
Right.
That is so terrible. That, like, imagine just seeing somebody and just being, wow, I really wish they would get hurt right now. Or, wow, I'm really glad that person fell down the stairs. Do you know how terrible that sounds?
Right, like,
that's terrible. Like, you sound like a awful person when you say stuff like that. Awful person.
Right. And I just, yeah, that's That was a good power play. And also, like, I feel like that's an important topic, so we needed to talk about it. But
I finally thought of one.
All right, let's wrap this baby up. We've got countdowns here for you. Tomorrow, preseason, as we mentioned before, we've got 19 days until the regular season starts on the 4th. Blackhawks will be in Prague versus the Flyers. And we have 25 days until the Sharks invade Chicago for the home opener. I'm so pumped. My dad and I are going. We're sitting at the 300 level. We're ready to just get crazy. One of my favorite ever Blackhawks videos that was ever done. It was after the 2013 Cup, and they did, like, the fun song is, like, some nights I stay, and they do, like, all the montages, and my favorite one, I want to say it was, I'm pretty sure it was Dave Bolin, but the one line that he says, I stand for the diehards in the 300 level, and I'm like, that's me, Dave! Let's go, baby! So my dad and I are going. We're very excited.
It's funny
because,
like, that's even me, like, with the Hurricanes. Like, I don't usually sit in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
I just sit up in the cheap seats. You could go to more games if you do that. I don't know if people think about that, but...
Right.
That's galaxy brain level stuff.
Use your head, dude. Use your head.
Yeah, use your head. Just...
It's okay. Well, that was a heck of a 50th episode of our podcast. I'm pretty excited about it. Thank you if you've been listening since day one, or if this is your first podcast that you're listening of us, thank you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for continuing to listen to us. We really appreciate it. Once the regular season starts, we will be more active on social media. I'm very excited about that. I know we say that every week, but it's getting closer, so I feel like we have to say it.
We're getting there.
But yes, thank you for tuning in this week. We hope you guys have a great week up ahead of you. Hockey this week. Get excited. And we're so, 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 so close. So we are very excited. And yeah, thank you for coming back. Hope you guys have a good one.
Bye, guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.